Welcome to the political cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
Welcome, everybody, to the Political Cesspool radio program. I am your host, James Edwards. It is Saturday evening, May the 8th, 2010, and we're coming to you live tonight, as always, from AM 1380 WLRM Radio Studios in Memphis, Tennessee, going out live to our AM-FM affiliate stations on the Liberty News Radio Network. You're listening to us online. You must be tuned in at thepoliticalcesspool.org, our official internet radio headquarters, or libertynewsradio.com. Thank you for joining us this evening. Big week tonight, as last week was a very big week here. They're all big weeks in the political cesspool. I think what separated last week from so many of our shows was that last week was essentially a three-hour celebration, a celebration over the fact that Arizona has stood up, becoming the first state to stand up in such a major way in a long, long time, passing a very America-first immigration reform law that, at the time, six other states had planned to follow. Now that list is up to 12. We will be covering the immigration issue and some of the latest breaking news pertaining to that matter tonight during the third hour. The third hour of tonight's show, coming up a little bit later, will be nothing but immigration-related news. Tonight, we are going to cover a few other items of concern during the first and second hours, but we are going to kick off the show tonight with a revisitation of the immigration issue because so much is happening. But first, let me welcome my co-host, Keith Alexander. Keith, how are you tonight?
I'm hanging in like Gunga Din here, listening to all of this good news and ready to pounce on the liberals that are trying to subvert and destroy America. In other words, just same old six and seven down here at the political cesspool, right?
You got that right, Keith. And it is the same old six and seven, as you say, with regards to the cultural Marxist war against European Americans and everything that we hold dear. I mean, some people were misled to believe that the leftists only hated the Confederate flag. Well, certainly you're wrong. They hate the American flags just as much as they hate you. We here at the Political Cesspool Radio program said this was forthcoming years ago, and sadly, we have been proven prophetic on the matter. What could I be talking about? Well, a school in California, a school that sits on American soil, sent a handful of students home, sent them home from school, kicked them out of school for the day, because they wore American flag T-shirts on Cinco de Mayo. And here's the story quickly. We're going to cover this and more in more detail during the third hour. But this infraction took place at Live Oak High School in Morgan Hill, California. A group of white students were sitting at a table during lunch break when the vice principal asked the boys to remove American flag shirts that they were wearing, and ordered for them to turn them inside out. When they refused, the boys were ordered to go to the principal's office. They said we could wear it on any other day, but it was sensitive to Mexican Americans because it's supposed to be their holiday, so we were not allowed to wear it today. And, you know, it goes on from there. These students were sent home from school because they refused to take off the shirts. A Mexican student, no doubt an illegal alien, said, "We don't deserve to be disrespected like that. This is an illegal alien who is disrespecting the laws of our country by coming here and not immigrating by the rules." And they have the audacity to say that they are disrespected by having to go to a school where American students wear the American flag. And the advocates for illegal immigration, Keith, can't understand why decent American citizens aren't crazy about this idea. I mean, are you kidding me? And where is the mainstream media with their coverage of the story? Well, of course, they are on side of the illegal alien invaders. If Mexican kids were sent home from school for wearing a Mexican flag T-shirt, you'd be hearing about this everywhere. But American kids are being dismissed from school for wearing American flag T-shirts in America, and the silence is deafening, except for here on the political cesspool. I mean, if Arizona passing an immigration law that defends its own citizens is deemed as controversial news, how about sending home American kids for wearing the flag of their country? Keith, it just doesn't get any more Orwellian than that.
Well, that's why we say that we have an invasion going on rather than an immigration. Barbara Sampson wrote an article recently for National Policy Institute about this. It's an invasion because they are not coming here to become part of America. They're not immigrating to America. They intend to take over America and take over the areas where they are, and they have nothing but contempt for the existing Anglo-derived culture of the United States, and they show this, for example, by their disrespect for the American flag. I read some of the commentary about what the Mexican students were saying in this California school, and they said by wearing an American flag, they were disrespecting us and our flag. Well, hello, you're in America. You should be respecting our flag first and foremost. You've moved to our country. We haven't moved into your country. You need to demonstrate your respect as a guest in the United States rather than an invader who has taken over and basically is telling us to rip down our flag. In fact, is this the same school where they, you know, the same day they were floating Mexican flags all over the place? In fact, they put a Mexican flag up on the flagpole and put the American flag below it, turned upside down, which is a universal distress signal. Appropriate, I suppose, because at least in parts of the Southwest, like California, America is in distress. We're in danger because we've been invaded, James.
Well, Keith, we have been invaded, and I don't know if it was the same school, but I do know the school to which you refer, and that did happen. It could very well be the same school. If not, it's two separate incidents. But that did, what Keith mentioned, also happen. The American flag was lowered. The Mexican flag was flying above it on the campus of an American school. Could have been the same one. I just don't have the facts of the matter. But either way, that happened. These kids were sent home for wearing American flag T-shirts at school. And you know, Keith, we wrote a couple of articles about this story and others. We are really following the immigration debate feverishly at our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. And folks, if you go there, you can join the debate yourselves by commenting on some of our blog entries. We had some great comments on these stories, one of which reads, if you cross the North Korean border illegally, you get 12 years of hard labor. If you cross the Afghan border, you get shot. If you cross the Mexican border into America, you get a job, a driver's license, health care, and free education for your spawn. And, Keith, certainly that's the truth, as is this other comment that was written on our website by a loyal political cesspool listener. He says that any time displaying an American flag or American on American soil is considered incendiary or disrespectful, it is a symptom that something is seriously, deeply wrong with our country. And ironically, and this is the interesting part, all of these so-called Americans protesting the display of the American flag on their quote-unquote holiday seem to be totally unaware that Cinco de Mayo is not even a holiday that's celebrated in Mexico. It is a small regional celebration. Mexican Independence Day is on September 16th, but that is information that wouldn't serve their agenda, so no one talks about it. And, Keith, I heard that on numerous outlets on the 5th. This isn't a real anniversary. It's an American holiday that people use as an excuse to go and get drunk. They use it as an excuse to go get drunk. Cinco de Mayo isn't even a Mexican holiday of any significance. But the low-life illegal aliens here, you know, pretend that it is such. They don't even know their own history.
And, you know, we're focusing on the Mexicans. But just think about this. You wrote at the bottom of one of your blog entries this week that the United States flag is now the equivalent of the Confederate flag. Remember, there was an article about a Tennessee boy who went to join the Marines and was turned down because he had a Confederate flag tattooed on his shoulder. Well, Sam Francis anticipated this, late, great Sam Francis, great paleoconservative writer and thinker. He wrote an article one time that Confederate flag equals Nazi, or Confederate equals Nazi. So, you know, if the American flag is now equal to the Confederate flag, how long is it going to be, James, until the American flag is equated by liberals with the Nazi flag?
Well, I think you
not
already
very long, I'll wager.
No, you're exactly right, Keith. I think you can see that day fast approaching. And of course, it goes without saying, our opinion of the Confederate flag on this program, there is no more honorable banner that has ever flown.
We're Confederates. The good news, James, is this.
To the
if
core, but the American flag.
In the U.S. military,
yeah,
get a Confederate flag tattoo. That's the way to make sure that you don't get in, and who wants to get in and fight wars in the Middle East for the benefit of Israel, right?
Yeah. If you want to be sure not to get drafted, fly a flag of honor or tattoo a flag of honor onto your body, and that should get the job done. But we're going to talk about that story later, too. We're about to come up on a break, but I want to let people know that later on in the program tonight, again, in the third hour, we're going to be spending the entire hour focusing once again on the immigration issue. Keith and I have a lot more ground to cover. However, this first hour, Bill Rowland will be co-hosting with me the second hour with a special guest. But stay tuned all the way through to the conclusion of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool. A lot more forthcoming on the immigration issue tonight. I'm James Edwards. Keith Alexander in studio with me. We're just getting fired up this evening, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned. Much more to come. We'll be back with you on the Liberty News Radio Network right after these words from our sponsors.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
Don't let me be misunderstood. Don't let me be misunderstood.
Please understand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand.
Jump in the Political Cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Got a very interesting segment here for you. But before we get into it, Keith has one more quick breaking news item pertaining to the immigration debate that we're going to be focusing on later in the program. Keith?
This is a response to the Arizona immigration law from where else? Blue State America, and none other than the epicenter of blue state snobbery and revulsion for red state America, Boston, dear Boston, the land of beans and cod, where the cabots speak only to the lodges and the lodges speak only to God, as they used to say. But apparently the lodges, the cabots, the salt and saws have been displaced up in dear old Boston now. Because the Boston City Council, at the urging of Councilor Felix G. Arroyo, I think his ancestors didn't come over on the Mayflower, and then co-written with City Council President Michael Ross, the son of a Holocaust survivor from Poland. I guess he's probably a good Irishman or a Christian or maybe a Muslim even, but no, of course, he's a Jew. And they have together, in a kind of double team of liberalism, passed a resolution to boycott Arizona. Again, falling right into that pattern that we were talking about of blue state America presuming to tell red state America how to think, how to act, how to feel, James. You know, like we said, the past isn't dead. It isn't even past. This is the latest in a long history of blue state depredations against red state America trying to change our outlook. You know, the Civil War was one of them, Reconstruction another, the Civil Rights Movement another, and they're not finished with us yet, James.
No, they're not, and the constant bombardment that we're getting from the media and, of course, the governments of all of these infested and infected states continues on seemingly unabated, although we do have some good news, obviously, on the immigration front. And as long as there are programs like this, we will do our part to keep the embers stoked long enough that the
have you ever heard, James,
fire
of
might be
any place in red state America presuming to declare a boycott on any place in blue state America?
No. No, never. I mean, we wouldn't be...
Not Budinskys like that.
Exactly. Well, let me give you this one, Keith. This is equally repugnant to that which you just mentioned. Elton John, the famous singer, who, to his credit, does have some pretty good songs. You know, I'm an oldies man, but nevertheless, he's a pervert. And what he said this week or the past week was about as perverse as you can get. Elton John has figured out something, and he wanted to share it with the world. Jesus Christ was a homosexual, so says Elton John. And, of course, Keith, you're entitled to freedom of speech without fear of reprisal as long as you're a member of the support group.
I guess you're even free to blaspheme the Christian faith, which is what
you're doing. Well, of course. I mean, that's numero uno. The Christian faith, European Americans, those are number one on the chopping block. But, you know, as long as you're a member of the support group of the regime, do you have these privileges? Elton John, for example, had free rein, as I mentioned, to blaspheme the Son of God.
What would happen if he blasphemed some tenets of the Jewish faith or the Muslim faith. What do you think?
Well, that would never happen, of course, because he's not going to do that. He knows who signs his paychecks, and it's not the Muslims, but it's certainly not the Christians either. And either way, Elton John proclaimed Jesus was a homosexual. And, you know, what has the reaction been from the mainstream media? Well, that's a rhetorical question. Just more praise and adulation from the homosexual singer, of course.
What a courageous trailblazer he is, right?
Yeah, exactly. And as usual, the media is saying it's perfectly acceptable to offend people with absurd notions as long as those being offended are Christians or European Americans or European American Christians.
Yeah, now, unlike John the left, just thinking outside the box, James.
Yeah, Keith, you know, I'm not a hypocrite, all right? I support the freedom of speech for everyone, even for perverts like Elton John. But let's compare and contrast what Elton did this week when he said Christ was a homosexual and the free pass he got from the public, from his sponsors.
And from the media elite in America.
Exactly. And the world.
And England and the world.
Exactly. He gets a free pass. He says Christ was a homosexual. Obviously, that's unbased. Obviously, it's crazy. It's an obnoxious smear, but he gets a free pass. Now, Elton John comes from the United Kingdom. What's going on over in the United Kingdom with regards to freedom of speech? Keep in mind that we here in the political cesspool support the freedom of speech, even for our enemies, and certainly our enemies don't support our freedom of speech, as it's been proven time and time again. But in the United Kingdom, this very same week in which Elton John, solved the mystery for everyone about Christ, according to him, a preacher was jailed for opposing homosexuality. And several decades ago, this would have been unthinkable. But since 1990, it's been pretty obvious where all this equality and diversity and hate speech nonsense has been heading. It happened here in America several years ago when the Jewish prosecutor in Philadelphia, Lynn Abraham, also, by the way, a national board member of the ADL, charged several Christians with hate crimes when they were arrested for handing out tracts and talking about the Bible during a sodomite parade. Each of these Christians, as you'll remember, and we covered this on the show some years back, faced nearly 50 years in prison for proclaiming biblical truth about homosexuality. Now, those charges were eventually dropped.
You know, it's funny, they're Jewish truths, too. They're in the Old Testament, which is includes the Jewish Torah.
Yeah.
That's where most of them come from.
Well, that's right. But even though those charges were dropped, jail and prison time for Americans with the wrong thoughts is coming. You can count on that unless you begin to engage yourself in this culture war and support the entities like our show who are fighting on the front lines. It's already happening over in England, and it's going to be happening here soon enough unless you do your part to stop it. Let me read the story, Keith, and I'm going to toss it over to you.
Okay.
A Christian preacher in England has been arrested for saying homosexuality is a sin. And again, anything that happens over here eventually happens here just a few years down the road. A Christian street preacher, and I'm reading now from an article that we've linked to on our website. If you want to read along with me, we have obviously this blog entry featured on our website this week, thepoliticalcesspool.org. A Christian street preacher was arrested and locked in a cell for telling a passerby that homosexuality is a sin in the eyes of God, which it clearly is if you've ever read the Bible. Dale McAlpine was arrested and charged with causing harassment, alarm, and distress after a homosexual police community support officer overheard him.
Can you believe they have such a person?
Yeah, they do. That's an official title, everybody, that we're reading directly from the London newspaper now. This homosexual police community
overheard him reciting a
officer
number of sins referred to in the Bible, including blasphemy, drunkenness, and same-sex relationships. A 42-year-old Baptist who preached Christianity in Workington, Cumbria for years said he did not mention homosexuality while delivering a sermon from the top of the stepladder, but admitted telling a passing shopper that he believed it went against the Word of God. Police officers are alleging that he made the remark in a voice loud enough to be overheard by others.
I mean, God forbid.
Oh, and have charged him with using abusive and insulting language contrary to the Public Order Act.
Now, again, this is something over there. That's something over there in England, folks. We're talking about what's happened in England. And Keith, we got a minute left. Obviously, Keith's reading from the blog article that I want everyone else to read. But the bottom line is, this woman, by the way, this homosexual that was so offended, came up to this preacher and engaged him in a debate, number one. But secondly, that shouldn't even matter because, you know, freedom of speech.
Nobody can question the sanctity of homosexuality. I was listening to something on the radio today, and it said that homosexuals are seeking not just protection against assault or against persecution or against discrimination. They are absolutely requiring affirmation by our society and everybody in it, and validation of the propriety of their lifestyle. And nothing less is going to satisfy them, as you see over here in the UK. So consequently, you know, if you've been on the sidelines of the culture war up until now, James, if
Keith,
things like this don't move you to get involved, then you're hopeless.
Well, we got to go to break, but you're right. This guy did go to jail for speaking that very basic biblical truth. When the homosexual police officer came over, he didn't relent. He got thrown in jail. It's going to happen here unless you stand with us and stand with the other people like us. We got to take a break. We'll be back.
We'll be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta
get out. All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. I want to remind you that all of the stories that we bring to your attention on the radio program are written about extensively on our website. The constraints of commercial radio don't always give us enough time to really dive into these issues and with as much depth and analysis as we would like. So we anchor or complement everything that we're doing on the air at our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. We're tracking a lot of stories with regards to illegal immigration and the great laws that are being passed in Arizona and other states. If you're interested in that, go to our website. We were talking about Elton John's proclamation that Jesus Christ was a homosexual. We were talking about the United Kingdom preacher who was thrown in jail for speaking biblical truth about homosexuality. All of that is mentioned on our blog. And that being the case, we're going to take a quick call from Kevin in Illinois. He's got about 20 seconds. He was following this story from the United Kingdom also. Kevin?
Hi, James.
Hey.
I just wanted to make a brief comment that I've been following the situation over there, especially they've had the general elections just yesterday.
That's right.
And everything's magnified in England. If anyone wants to get a glimpse of where America might be heading, take a look at some of the blogs from England. It's horrible.
Now, listen,
well,
Kevin, thank you.
Just what we said, Kevin, of England and places like California are a canary in the coal mine. You know, the canary
right.
is in the coal mine, so if there's poisonous gas, canary drops dead before the human beings do. Well, this is a warning, just like a canary in the coal mine to us in America about what the left has in store for us.
Yeah, and Kevin, thank you so much for that call and that observation. I couldn't agree with you more. That does seem to be the case almost inevitably. What happens in Europe trickles down here eventually. It doesn't have to be the case, though. We can control our own destiny. What happens there doesn't have to inevitably happen here, but although a strong precedents have been set in that way. Thank you for calling. Thank you for being a fan of the show. Keith, I know you've got a lot of stuff you want to cover with the remainder of this first hour.
Just to comment on Kevin's comment, you know, we're lucky we have that canary in the coal mine because, as they say, to be forewarned is to be forearmed, and we need to be forearmed about what the left has in store for us, and they've got the blueprint out there.
Well, the one difference, though,
James,
the one difference is that America does have
freedom of speech.
Barely. But it is constitutionally protected for what that's worth, and it isn't worth much, but it's more than what they've got. And that is the only difference that I think has staved off our elimination to this point.
Well, you know, the left has a lot of, in its bag of tricks in store for us. And, you know, we've talked about the movie and book, The Blind Side, quite extensively on this program. And it's been a conundrum and a kind of puzzlement to us. And I was studying our old blog entries and reading one of your old blog entries from January the 21st of 2010 called Families, the Last Segregated Institution. And you were commenting on an article, and let me read a little bit about it to the audience. That's what a Jew in the New York Times says. Her name is Jody Cantor. And once a person agrees that racially segregated churches, schools, and neighborhoods are evil, which pretty much everyone does these days, it's hard to see how they can believe racially segregated families aren't evil, too. If an all-white church or school is racist, then why isn't an all-white family racist? And Jody Cantor, this good daughter of Israel, wrote an article about President Obama's family. And in this article, she says, though the world is recognizing the inauguration of the first African-American president of the United States, the story is a more complex narrative about immigration, social mobility, and the desegregation of one of the last divided institutions in American life, the family. I tell you, when I read that and put it together with The Blind Side, I felt like Alice falling down the rabbit hole in Alice in Wonderland. I just kind of lit up like a country church, and I've been following this line, and it's incredible. You know, the Jews talk about the Nazi genocide of Jews as the final solution to the Jewish problem. They talk about the final solution. Well, I think we've stumbled upon the final solution of liberals to the white Gentile problem. They see our families not as sacrosanct, not as the final refuge that will be allowed to people. No, they intend to transform our families as well, James. They intend to, through transracial adoptions like the one in The Blind Side that has just been celebrated. You know, it was made into a movie for a purpose, James, because it was going to model for red state evangelicals how they could obtain absolution from blue state America, that they could adopt black kids, cut them in for a part of their inheritance, and basically put their own biological families at jeopardy or at a disadvantage. That's the way to do it. Likewise, transracial marriage. And, of course, none of this applies, James, to Jews. That's what's so incredible. Let me continue to read from this story, your blog entry. Of course, when Cantor talks about families needing to be desegregated, she's not talking about her own people. She's married to a fellow Jew, Ron Lieber. In fact, Jews are allowed to condemn intermarriage among their own people, and nobody bats an eye. No, she's talking about those hateful all-white Gentile families. They're the ones that need to go. We're the ones whose family reunions have to look like a meeting of the UN if we don't want Jews to call us Nazis. And don't think they don't mean it. And don't intend to use their media power to do everything they can to encourage, shame, prod, and provoke as many whites as they can into marrying non-whites and to adopting non-whites. You know, the lead article on Friday, James, we talked about this, in American Renaissance, was about transracial adoptions. And the nugget that I drew, which I thought was the most important thing of it, is that a full 40% of all adoptions in the United States last year were transracial adoptions. So apparently this Jewish elite in the news media and in the entertainment media are casting their spell all too effectively, and they're doing everything they can to hasten the extinction of white Gentiles in America, James.
Well, they are, Keith, and let me just say this. There was a particularly striking comment on our blog that really says in very few words that which we try to get out every day here on the radio program, and it says this: the word racist has gotten to the point of being used by the liberals as a sort of a socio-political nuclear bomb that is only meant to shame and intimidate anyone who doesn't agree with them into shutting them up. And certainly that's the case. You hear all of this stuff about, you know, everybody that's a conservative white Christian, something of that nature, is a Nazi. I saw that, and we put up another article on our website just this week. A commentator had said that Tim Tebow, the Christian quarterback out of the University of Florida who was drafted by the Denver Broncos this year, number one, his jersey is the number one selling uniform in the NFL right now, and he's a white quarterback. He said his family picture, a picture of his family, looked like a Nazi party rally. because he has a white mother and a white father.
Yeah, can you imagine such disrespect? This guy is a paragon. He doesn't do anything wrong. He's a righteous dude, as they said on that, you know, Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Remember that old movie?
Yeah, oh yeah.
He's about as good a role model for the youth of America as you can find in sports. Certainly much better than Lawrence Taylor, who just got picked up the umpteenth time, this time for abducting and raping a 16-year-old white runaway.
We put that on the website, too, thepoliticalcesspool.org, everybody. It's all there.
Of course, but the Jewish writer is not going to say anything about that. That's a taboo topic. You know, only a racist would talk about Lawrence Taylor. In fact, it's probably racist to have laws that punish black men for abducting and raping underage white girls, you know, because they tend to do it more often than anyone else. But, you know, just to go into this more, it says, and don't think they don't mean it and don't intend to use their media power to do everything they can to encourage, shame, prod, and provoke as many whites as they can into marrying non-whites. That's what all this diversity garbage has always been about. That's what the Civil Rights Movement was about.
Hey, Keith, hold it right there. We're going to pick up right there. Keith's got much more in his arsenal this evening as he follows this line of thought a little bit more as we wrap up the first hour after this commercial break. Keith Alexander is going to be back with me to help me do it. Stay tuned.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. Girl, there's a better life for me.
If I didn't tell him, I didn't. Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
That's right, James Edwards back here with you now as we wrap up the first of 3 hours of our live broadcast tonight, Saturday, May 8th. Keith Alexander co-hosting with me, as always, here for this first hour. I will be joined the second hour by co-host Bill Rowland. Co-host Winston Smith will join me in the third hour when we revisit the immigration issue. The only co-host you won't hear from tonight is Eddie the Bombadier Miller, but you got him last week, and he'll be back next week. So, Keith, we're spreading around the responsibility here. We share the load, as they say.
Yep. Eddie's busy loading the bomb bays, and he'll be back next week. But
the Bombadier.
We're kind of in a rotation like the pitching staff of the Boston Red Sox or something.
That's right. I can't let you guys get worn out.
Well, here's the situation. What you pointed out so accurately is that this is what the Civil Rights Movement was all about. This is what unchecked third world immigration is all about. This is what liberalism is all about. They've always had as their ultimate goal, ultimately, white Gentile genocide. And the Jews have been the biggest promoter of all of these things. You know, who was at the forefront of the Civil Rights Movement? Jews. You know, they try to give you this idea that somehow blacks were in charge and that they were totally responsible for the success of the Civil Rights Movement. You know, that's what all these elaborate state funerals for Dr. Benjamin Hooks and Dr. Dorothy Height have been all about. But as we all know, blacks by themselves, Hispanics by themselves, can't organize a two-car funeral. And in particularly with the Civil Rights Movement, without Jewish money, Jewish intelligence, Jewish organizational skill, and Jewish media control, the whole thing would never have amounted to a hill of beans, James. So, you know, that's where it is. And, of course, within the Jewish community, you know, they can say that we have to remain Jewish, we have to marry only Jews, we have to only have sex with other Jews, we have to only adopt Jewish children, and nobody bats an eye. For example, that prominent, famous neocon, Elliot Abrams, who was Assistant Secretary of State under Ronald Reagan, and then was Special Advisor to President George W. Bush, actually wrote a book in 1999 entitled Secularism, Spirituality and the Future of American Jewry, in which he basically enjoined Jews from marrying outside of the Jewish faith. Now, if a Gentile had written that, he would be denounced as the second coming of Adolf Hitler. But, of course, you know, we have rules where, you know, it's heads I win, tails you lose, with the Jews in charge. Now, here's what another good son of Israel said. Diversity inside families, said Michael J. Rosenfeld, a sociologist at Stanford University, is the most interesting kind of diversity there is. Some Jews, like David Greenberg, even go so far as to speculate that the rate of white Gentiles committing racial suicide doesn't start picking up soon. The government might have to get involved to bring about more interracial marriages. He says, of course, it's hard not to also see the glasses half, or more precisely, 55% empty. All these numbers may be climbing, but they remain low. What's more, the white-black marriage rate lags significantly behind rates of white intermarriage with other non-black races. Among 25 to 34-year-olds, 52% of Native Americans and 40% of Asians married outside their race, while only 6% of blacks did so. The racism that kept Alabama's constitution unchanged has hardly been eradicated. And get this, mark this in your mind, mental note. Whether these habits will change on their own with the maturation of a more tolerant generation, or whether full social acceptance of black Americans will require a concerted governmental effort, i.e. for transracial adoption and marriage, is unknowable. Can you imagine he's proposing that the government get involved to force transracial adoptions and marriages? It said many Christians have already bought into this line, and lots of conservative churches actually promote interracial marriage as the ideal, i.e., the Toohey's Grace Evangelical Church here in Memphis, the people that the Blind Side movie was made about. In the future, you'll see more and more articles and reports by Jews and evangelicals denouncing all white families as racist. And again, what's the motive for this? What is the rationale? Well, Jews will tell you it's their almost genetic commitment to the principle of tecum olam. Now, that's not oil of Olay made from teak wood. That's some Hasidic term, I guess, that means repairing the world, building a model society. And they say, we're just so moved with this unquenchable thirst for racial justice that we're doing all of this. But if they're really motivated by tecum olam, how come tecum olam doesn't apply to their own race and their own people, James? It's just, we have a, we've been programmed by the media elite, which are primarily Jewish. We've mentioned before that out of 8 major movie studios in America, all 8 have Jewish CEOs. You know, back in the 70s and 80s, we were being softened up for this with TV shows like Different Strokes and Webster that showed white families adopting black children. And, of course, the pace of change is accelerating, so we're seeing more and more. We're seeing this featured Hollywood movie. We're seeing Sandra Bullock on the cover of People magazine. And, of course, she was a star of the Blind Side movie, adopting a black child from New Orleans. They're throwing it into high gear. I think they see the finish line, James. What do you think?
Well, they do, and that's what makes the Zionist agenda all the more abominable. They practice for themselves that which we believe is natural and healthy, but what they practice for themselves, they, through the power of the media that they wield, denounce us as neo-Nazis and racists and everything else, which couldn't be further than the truth. We just want what everybody wants, and that's to be with our own family.
You know, if they were honest, they would say, we want the same thing for you that we want for ourselves. If they were really altruistic, really motivated by an instinct for justice, they would be proposing interracial adoptions and marriages for Jewish people. And, of course, Sandra Bullock is Jewish, at least racially and culturally, but she's, you know, I would doubt that she's a goes to temple every week.
She doesn't, and none of them do. And there's a difference between Orthodox Jews and, you know, your Ashkenazi Zionist Jews. But and not all Jews are a part of this
hypocritical
double
shot,
standard and malfeasance. But until
people that are 2.5% of the population of the United States play such a prominent role in all of the destructive elements of the radical left. For example, the ACLU, American Civil Liberties Union, which is supposedly non-racial, non-ethnic in character, over 50% of their membership is Jewish, when Jews make up only 2 to 2.5% of the general population. All of these activities you see where they're trying to take down the nativity scene in town squares, where they're trying to take the crosses off of Veteran Administration graveyards, like the recent thing, all that spearheaded by the ACLU, and who's the power and who's the money behind the ACLU. It's the same thing. And again, this Tikkun Olam that we're talking about is just the perfect excuse for being a Budinsky, as we said before. They are going to meddle in our affairs, and we in Red State America have been on the receiving end of all of this interference with our ability to live our lives as we see fit, basically since 1824. Of course, the Jewish population wasn't around then, but believe me, they took the torch from the Puritan, abolitionist, transcendentalist, Unitarian New Englanders and ran with it, you know, to the point that that old New England core of liberals that existed back in the Civil War era, they're reduced to the amen corner of liberalism now, James.
Well, that's right, Keith. And as we come up to the final couple of seconds of this first hour, you know, it should be said that it is not Christians who are protesting the singing of Christmas carols at Christmas time. And, you know, I wish some of these truths didn't exist. It would, you know, make me very happy if everyone here in America would assimilate into traditional Western Christian culture. But if they don't, I believe it's our duty to identify the people who are attacking these
and
traditions.
What should we do, James?
And we're must,
not saying
you know, we must
take any action.
Square off against
you
them.
Just basically understand this. You listen for these names like Rosenfeld and Lieber and Cantor, and you're able to identify Jewish people. And then when you associate it with some far-left position, you just, I think, are totally justified in saying, well, let's disregard all of that.
Keith,
consider the source.
We got to go. Thanks for your time tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, 2 more hours forthcoming in the political cesspool. Don't go anywhere. I'll be back right after this.
And 2 to go. Stay tuned. Hour number 2 of the political cesspool comes your way right after these messages.
And Harv leaped to his feet and says, something's got a hold on me. Yeah! The day the squirrel went berserk in the First Self-Righteous Church in that sleeping little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting hallelujah. Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his fruit and blooms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room, all the way down to the amen.